The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O here at WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 on your FM dial in the Pittsfield greater metropolitan area, and then in Lee on WSBR in Lee.
The abundance. The fool will get thirsty.
You can actually also find us on most podcast platforms all around the world, brought directly to your phone and device. If you're not tied to it enough already, tie a little water around that electronic equipment. And So It Flows, we bring water culture straight from the Berkshires to all around the world. Super psyched today. Great interview, second half of the show with Amy Holtzapfel, I believe. I may be mispronouncing the name, and I will be corrected in due time, because Amy will be here in the studio. We're going to be talking a little bit about her art project, which has to do with coral. Amy is a professor of theatrics over at Williams College, visiting. I'm not exactly sure, but she, you know, it's a big deal academic position, and she'll explain more about that soon. Super psyched to be with you more and more. It's really about the H2O. We got some music lined up, but first a little something from my friends over at, let's see what we got here. Finding Nemo is going to be with us a little bit soon, but we got another fish story here with my friends from Heart. Got some Barracuda you're listening to, And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
You back, making their way down the turtle track. Yeah. They got places to go and things to see, and they don't need you and they don't need me telling them where they got to be. They're gonna rest their heads neath the shady tree. Some turtles live out in the ocean. Some turtles like to live on land. Every turtle likes to make a comfy nest and lay its babies in the turtle sand. The turtles don't need a whole lot. They're pretty independent dudes. They need clean water and clean air, about the same things that we need up here. Doodles. Turtle time. Turtle, don't be a stranger. You ain't gotta be a turtle park ranger to tell that the turtle might be in danger. We're gonna need to make some changes round here for the turtles. Ooh. Turtle time. Places to go and things to see, and they don't need you and they don't need me telling them where they got to be. They're gonna rest their heads neath the shady tree.
Thank you. When traveling from land to sea, you reach the beach. Wet foot in the sand, Trey Moody. When pleasure found is my resource, should I lose my lover's eyes, then destiny will blot this course. Forgotten lies aim to distract me. This mind of mine must not connect. When pure nature will contain me, free falling air I am, will surpass. When I'm falling, calling, I'll return. Sure. eyes, I see the sign. Tears in passion for desperate men. Then should I lose my lover's eyes, then secrecy will hide this course. When I'm falling, calling, I'll return.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you. I am your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. We're here at 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, bringing the culture of water straight from the Berkshires all around the world, getting your water vibe on. You could find us on Apple, Amazon Music. You could find us on YouTube Music. You could find us really anywhere you search. So just check out And So It Flows. And also check out our water song playlist, of which you are listening to on Spotify. So just look for And So It Flows in your Spotify search and save that. Going to be having a great conversation regarding choral and theatrics and Greek chorus coming up pretty soon with Amy Holtz. Can you coach me? Hold on 1 second. Amy, hold on. 1, 2, 3. Amy, why don't you say hi to the water-loving listeners who are going to be waited, bated breath for another 12 minutes till you come on. So how do I pronounce your last name?
Hi, everyone. Amy Holtzapfel.
Holtzapfel.
Yeah, you almost got it. Leslie. Okay. You were very close. I was impressed.
Thank you. It's that third grade spelling bee trying to come out through, you know, my tongue, and it was kind of... For a while there, I was, you know, having...
You read every letter. That's all you need to do.
Thank you so much. So thanks again for joining. You're going to be listening to Amy and I having a conversation regarding choral and art and theatrics coming up soon. Again, thanks for being with us here at And So It Flows. Got a little bit of news coming your way, and let's go see what this is. This is from the Good News Network, a little bit about botanical gardens. They filmed some giant lily pads holding over 180 pounds of weight in annual water lily weigh-off. And this is by Andy Corbley. The Denver Botanic Gardens recently hosted a worldwide competition to see who would stack or could stack the most weight on a water lily pad before it sank, and the results were simply extraordinary. Known as the Water Lily Weigh-Off, more than 30 zoos and gardens in 9 countries around the world took part. Don't assume these lovely lilies to be shrinking violets. They're actually incredibly strong. The Missouri Botanic Garden posted a video on Instagram of their largest lily floating upright under 182 pounds of weight, while that of Florida's Bock Tower Gardens beat Missouri's score with one additional pound weighing off at 183 pounds of things on top of a lily. And the Denver Botanic Garden staff spoke to various local news outlets about the competition, describing it and the participants in glowing terms. I'm really proud of what we have been able to build out this silly little idea we started, says Vanessa Callahan, assistant manager of learning engagement at Denver Botanic Gardens. The participating gardens are showing so much creativity, so much storytelling, so much earnest about them, experiences and personalities that this is again Vanessa speaking, I'm having so much fun watching it. Third place went to a specimen at the Huntsville Botanical Garden in Alabama, which held 165 pounds of weight on a lily. That's a big frog. That's a big frog. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. And let's see what we have here. Sometimes what there is to do is to listen to Dory and the film Finding Nemo.
Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills. When life gets you down, you know what you gotta do?
I don't wanna know what you gotta do.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
Dory, no singing.
Oh, 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 I love to swim in.
Dory.
When you want to swim, you want
See,
to
See, I'm gonna get stuck
on.
Now with that song. Now it's in my head.
Sorry.
It's a death row pardon, 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you just did. Just stay.
songs for everyone. Sit beside a mountain stream, see her waters rise. Listen to the pretty sound of music as she
Arlo and Anne. Up. We're going to have to hold this one. We're going to have to hold this one. And we'll come back to that song a little later on. Because that's not what we were supposed to be listening to right now. So, any Guthrie fans, Arlo Guthrie fans, you want to hold on for a good few minutes. We're going to have a really great conversation with Anne Holzfeld. Really excited to have her here. And she's going to be joining the show now. Really, we're going to have a conversation about what she's up to with her project. And Amy, why don't you say hi to the water-loving listeners around the world?
Yeah, hi, Leslie. It's great to be here. Yeah, thanks for inviting me onto the show. This is a treat.
So. Yeah, thanks. So the way you and I met, I'm going to check to see if the ocean waves are going to be joining our show again. Hold on one second.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be having an issue with our friends over at the... there we go.
We got them.
Some ocean back. Yeah, very psyched. Oh, I love tech. It's stuck. We're going to have to see what's going on here and move forward. Hold on one second. I want to see if I could get this baby.
So we stopped the waves.
The waves.
Remarkable.
That's always been kind of like a science experiment. If I play waves in the background, will people be more calm when they listen to the show? I don't know. What I am interested in is to simply have the DVD, CD player work. So gonna give it a try in the other CD player. And see.
I'm impressed
happens.
That you're using CDs.
That's, I know, right?
Next level, yeah.
I know, it's so next level. I got, you know, sometimes.
Or maybe it's,
and
the
it's not
former
exactly
level.
Analog, though. It's not, you know. You're not going to find that to be super analog. It is, however, looking to see if it works here. Okay, let's see if we can create some oceanness. Oh, yeah, there we got. We got the ocean back.
There it is.
Got the ocean. Thank you for CD player number two. So, Amy, so good to be with you here in studio. Tell our listeners a little bit more about what you're up to. You're doing this. Is it an art project? Is it a choral project? What is it?
Yeah. It's kind of all of the above. I think we met at the Berkshire Art Center.
Yes, we did.
During a crochet choral workshop that Laura Thompson helped sponsor. Shout out to Laura.
Yay, Laura.
And shout out to the Berkshire Art Center. Amazing place. Incredible resource for the community.
Yes, it is.
Take a visit. So I am the project manager for an incredible version of a global phenomenon that's been happening since around 2005. It's called the Crochet Coral Reef Project. You can find out about it if you just like literally put into the World Wide Web Crochet Coral Reef. It will come up. This was a project originated by two sisters, Christine and Margaret Wertheim, who are from Australia, who wanted to draw attention to the beauty and majesty and also vulnerability of coral reefs,
yes,
starting with their own reef, the Great Barrier Reef, which is...
The Great Barrington Reef or the Great Barrier Reef?
Well, we've got the Great Barrington Reef. They've got the Great Barrier one, but it'd be cool to switch sometime. I don't know how that would work out.
That's an inside joke. For those of you who are listening from around the world, Great Barrington is here in Berkshire County. So anyway, back to the Great Barrier. What?
I learned that the Great Barrier Reef is the only animal seen from space. You can actually see the Great Barrier Reef, and corals are animals. So it's...
Oh, when you said that, I was like, what?
You're like, what
animal?
Are you
I thought it's
about?
Like a piece of like crustacea. Like what? You know,
and
like
it's a giant living, breathing ecosystem full of... But it is technically... a life form. So it is only life form that we can see from outer space. It's that big.
Wow. So it is. Okay.
It's huge.
That breaks a lot, theatricals,
yeah,
speaking here, breaks like the fourth wall.
It really does.
On how we relate to things. Especially if, like even me, I'm thinking like, how, it's an alive, the things near it or by it are alive, the fish, sea anemones, but you're not thinking that the coral is, you think it's like bones left over, not even alive.
No, it's like actually an animal.
It's an animal.
It's...
That's great.
This is kind of amazing. I just learned that the way, its mouth is also the same as its butt.
Oh, nice. Is that similar to like an earthworm?
Admittedly, I am a theater professor. I'm not a scientist, but I've been trying to learn more about coral biology.
That's kind of cool.
But it is an incredible life form, an animal. And it turns out that coral reefs have over 1 million species, marine species in them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they take up less than 1% of the ocean floor. So actually 25 to 35% of marine species are in coral reefs.
So not only is it living,
yes,
it also supports
Absolutely.
Life.
It supports life.
Wow.
Yeah, so much life.
What a
yeah.
concept. That's almost like Earth. It's a living being. Maybe
is.
Water is a living being, and it also supports life.
I think you could argue that. Yeah,
we should. We're arguing that now. So again,
so they brought attention to this, and through this art project that they decided to put into the world, they wanted to draw attention to it. And Christine was really good at crocheting, and it turns out that crochet is a really amazing manifestation of a type of mathematic structure called hyperbolic. There's three different kinds. There's spherical, Euclidean, and hyperbolic. Space, and corals are forms of hyperbolic space. So it turns out, this is really amazing, that crochet is the best analog material manifestation of hyperbolic space that you can create. No.
I'm just not. Okay, so let's
I know,
let's
I'm blowing
see
your mind.
We,
I can see, like,
I'm,
the
I'm
steam
wondering,
coming
number
out of
one,
your
because
brain.
I just want to be also responsible for when, in the world of education, it's been shown if a person misses just one word,
yes,
they'll check out.
Totally, totally.
They'll be in the back of the room. I don't want to raise my hand, whatever
I know.
That is.
It's
so
sounds...
what does the word hyperbolic, what's its context in that?
So, okay, now we're getting into math, which is not my thing, I must admit. But if you think about, so Euclidean space is like a single line that you would... create in a kind of linear form. So it's like a line, a straight line, right? From one side to the other.
Yeah.
Spherical, you have lines that are going around a sphere, so something on the earth. So spherical lines like are going to go round and round and round. And hyperbolic lines, as it turns out, will cross one another. Because they're in these hyperbolic forms. I'm really not explaining this well.
But you know, it's definitely not hyperbole, but it is hyperbolic.
Yeah. It is.
That's great.
So crochet, it turns out, can manifest these mathematical forms. And so they were fascinated by this as well. And they ended up using crochet as a medium, also because it is a bespoke form. So unlike knitting, which is manufacturable, crochet can't be manufactured. It's a totally bespoke art form.
What does the word bespoke mean? I classify it as it's like it's very nice or it's a particular kind of high-end craft.
Yeah. It's like it can't really be replicated.
Like artisan level.
Yeah.
Or like, so you might go to, let's say, in the film Kingsman, there's this place for men's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Bespoke would mean no suit, two suits at this men's clothier would be actually the same. They may look the same, but there's some differences.
Yeah, or they would be hand done to such an extent that even if they look the same, they would still be
so would water
different.
Would ice crystals or snow crystals be bespoke because none of the two are the same?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I feel like we could philosophically debate that
let's
for
go
the rest of the time.
But still, let's go back to the crochet.
Yeah.
So they
decided to make a life-size coral reef entirely out of crochet.
Oh, that's cool.
To draw attention to it. And it turned into this amazing worldwide global project that has been seen at many institutions, many art institutions worldwide, the Getty, Venice Biennale, you know, all over. And they've had, it's also a participatory art project. So all of the corals that are created are made by anyone who wants to participate, and
so
by the public.
So let's say you
did
what you did with the Berkshire Arts Center. You
right.
did that. Now,
so,
is that all sent over to
no.
a central location,
oh, yeah.
or do you make your own coral and then send it off?
So we're doing a version of this crochet coral reef project, but in the Berkshires, and we're calling it the Berkshires Satellite Reef. So these satellite reefs are amateur community versions of the larger crochet coral reef project. And we're in the process of making a life-size reef with participants all over from the Berkshires, but also from anywhere
yeah.
who want to contribute to our reef. And we're holding workshops and circles. We're teaching people how to crochet. We've taught, I think now, over 200 people how to crochet.
Wow.
Through workshops, how to make a hyperbolic crochet form, how to make a coral. We've also had a yarn donation drive going on. So all of our yarn so far has been upcycled from people out of the kindness of their hearts, scrounging into their closets and
leftover yarn.
And finding yarn and, yeah, bringing it in for us to use for the reef.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's been amazing. And we're going to be sharing the reef to the public as an immersive installation exhibition.
And where's that
in April? It's going to be in Williamstown at the 62 Center for Theater and Dance at Williams College. It's going to be
wow.
in one of our theaters. It's going to have sound and lights around it
wow.
to make it feel like you're underwater. and it's going to be really fantastic.
That sounds really great. Now, when do the different groups that participate here and around the world, do you guys document the work that you've done? Is there like a general, if you go and you're looking for a coral crochet project online, let's say, will there be one of the websites showing some of the work from different regions or all together, or how?
Yeah, I mean, we're documenting it. I will say that one thing that's really important about this project is that it's very much about process over product. So we're really emphasizing the making of it and bringing people together. This project is really about community. It's really about
beautiful.
A kind of excuse to bring people together to crochet together, but also to just be in a room and a shared space and time and make something extraordinary together. So it's sort of, how do you become part of something larger that's not really about yourself?
Do
it's about
people
this larger
share
thing.
About the their experience with coral or being in the ocean or,
Have you ever been to a coral reef?
I have personally.
Yeah.
Do they share about their experiences while they're crocheting?
They do. They also talk about cats and other things.
Oh, cats.
And
yeah,
dogs.
Sea cats.
And our lives and our children and our family members. You know, like, I mean,
normal
yeah. But we do
community.
Talk about coral,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
we talk about coral. Yeah, I mean, there's people in that space that have never seen a coral reef in person, and people who've spent, you know, many hours diving and witnessing the coral themselves. You don't have to know anything about coral. I mean, obviously, because you just heard me talk about my knowledge about coral, my limited knowledge, to participate in the project. There's no barriers for entry.
Really? That's that. You know what's beautiful about that? Because it actually allows for people to either, you know, some people may know a lot, other people may know not so much, and allowing yourself to kind of either through the process of getting together with community to be able to learn or to experience what it was like when you're, you know, just relive a moment or talk about your cat, all of which are important because it's a particular community gathering for art and, in this case, something water related.
Yes, deeply. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
And, you know, I think all of us kind of feel like we're really sort of in some ways stuck in our phones and our lives, in our interior spaces now. More and more.
Should
and
we just crochet phones then?
Yeah,
get a
we
better
should.
Day?
That can be our next project.
Yeah, crochet your phone.
We'll crochet
a phone.
Completely. Yeah. Just holding on to a crochet hook instead of your phone is something I would recommend highly.
I think it's part of allowing people to be in the current world, but allow yourself to go analog every now and then and see the joy that comes from that.
Yes. And something happens differently in your brain, I think, when you're using two hands with a skill like crochet or knitting or anything like that. You can almost feel it rewiring your brain in a way. So I've really been enjoying just taking that time out of my day to crochet and sit with other folks. You know, it's a nexus of art, of science, of activism, of participatory, you know,
really
community building.
It's real engagement.
Yeah.
It's true engagement because you are engaged in.
Right.
It's a very much, you know, you are in the moment.
Yeah.
When you are with your crocheting and when, in this case, for coral.
Yeah, it's being present.
Yeah.
You know, being present in that space with other people.
Nice.
And we're bringing into schools, so kids are learning now. You know, you can crochet just with your hands, you know, finger crocheting and stuff.
That'll actually bring me to another question. Are there additional things that people could go to and learn or participate in this? Is this an ongoing events right now?
Right. So we started in June and the project goes through April. And anyone who wants to make a choral can contribute one. You don't have to live in the Berkshires. And, you know, on our website, we have a whole kind of list of ways to participate and contribute.
What is that website?
So it is, the website is gaudino.williams.edu/Berkshires-satellite-reef. If you just put in Berkshire's Satellite Reef into the internet, it will land you on this page.
That's pretty, that's really, that. I mean, overall, the whole thing is so intriguing.
Yeah.
Because you are doing something in a way that broadens you, and you are then also connecting it to something that you either have enjoyed or wish to enjoy one day, all together in community.
Yeah.
And water, in this case, choral, is the beneficiary of that. And that's
the hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. And there's no, like, I don't know what their secret answer bullet is, but
right.
it's really,
yeah.
It's really some way weaving it all together, which is one of the reasons I do this show, because water kind of weaves everything together.
I mean, if you want to see incredible photos of the Crochet Coral Reef Project, if you just go to their website, which is just crochetcoralreef.org, it will show you some of the exhibitions that they've had and done around the world. I think I was just talking with one of the artists last night, in fact, on a Zoom, Christine, and she was telling us telling us about the one that they did in Baden-Baden, Germany, had over 5,000 participants, and they made over 45,000 corals.
Wow.
Out of crochet. And then they had to go through them and assemble them into these enormous, outstanding, beautiful reefs.
And there are pictures of these things, or even videos.
There are pictures online on their site. They have an incredible, they have TED Talks. It's an amazing sort of documentation of the project. They have every exhibition, every satellite reef they've done. And you can just scroll through and see the beauty of these coral forms, and their organic quality and their shape, and they're all, you know, it's funny, like I have a lot of them in my office now, and they're just like these little creatures, and they're like puppets, you know, or Muppets or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I just sometimes pick them up and, you know, sort of hold them in my lap, and they're fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. And those of you who are just joining in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, bringing rock and roll and music and water and news and water and all sorts of really great talk to open up the conversation for what it actually means to be alive on this planet, especially when water is part of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also a theater You're a theater professor?
Yes.
You've got like some title there. They're like, what? Give the long title, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What's the long title?
Yes, I'm a professor of theater at Williams. I happen to be the chair of the department right now, so I've got a lot of other activities going on. But my reason I'm able to do this project is I'm also in this 3-year position called Gaudino Scholar at Williams, and It gives a faculty member a chance to kind of do something a little bit unorthodox in the curriculum, and gives you some funding to do so.
Yeah,
so
that's really, really great.
Yeah,
that's...
so I was interested in the fund is helps you with experiential and engaged kinds of learning and pedagogies, and so I naturally thought this would be an amazing activity for us to do, because what it's really also doing is breaking down that boundary between town and gown, between the campus and the community. So
yeah,
the students are making corals and making crochet with community members and taking it into the schools. And
just want to stop on another word that I kind of know what it is and means, but just for everybody else who might be listening, pedagogy, from what I understand, it's simply the kind of learning that in a life is a life path of learning, you know, from child to adult.
Yeah, or it's almost like methods of teaching.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. It's more like teaching methods. So ways of learning and also ways of teaching. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Now, one of the ways in which you profess as, the chair of the theatrical department or that theatrics in itself assists with so much, not only the subject matter, but also you were, right before you came on the air, you were talking something about Greek choruses.
Yes.
What exactly is a Greek chorus? Is that a bunch of folks?
That's a great question.
That are singing on the street in a Greek neighborhood? Or, like, what is a Greek chorus?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. I will say, just before I go into that, that we have so many commonalities, because we were talking before about how water, what isn't about water? There's nothing. There's nothing that isn't about water. And similarly, theater, there's almost nothing that isn't about theater or that theater isn't about. Because it's about, you know, representing life,
exactly.
Right? And in all of its forms and abstractions and detail. I think we have some amazing commonality here between water and theater.
Yeah. So
I'll get to the Greek.
Is there an answer to the
Greek chorus?
What is the Greek chorus?
So when oftentimes now when you hear the term Greek chorus, I think if you know about theater, you probably might think to yourself about the chorus of Greek tragedy, the choruses that inhabit the kind of great Greek tragedies, ancient Greek tragedies from the 5th century BCE by Aeschylus and Sophocles and Euripides. So Oedipus, Rex, and Antigone, and Medea, and, you know, those great, all of them have choruses in them. So do the comedies. We were talking about Lysistrata, Aristophanes.
Like chorus meaning like the singing part specifically?
Yeah, so they have this group of people who were in the cast, and they were called the chorus. And they were kind of members of a tribe or a community or a subset of the population who inhabit that play. And they play a role as a kind of witness to what's going on. So
this is so interesting because I had I heard the word, I was like,
what is she talking about?
Exactly.
People busking on the street in Athens?
I know.
Yeah.
Right.
So the Greek chorus in theater is kind of this ancient Western theatrical kind of concept and body that appears in these plays, and it appears in every tragedy that we have, all 32 extant tragedies. So every tragedy that you open up will have this character of a chorus, of a Greek chorus. So I'm writing about the ways that that body has kind of been taken up and received in contemporary theater and activism, actually. So for example, there's a group that draws attention to climate change called Extinction Rebellion in the UK.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Do you
know
about Extinction Rebellion?
Yeah. My personal thought on it when I was listening to what they were up to was it was a little dark.
It's pretty dark.
It's really dark. And I like another one, which kind of brings humor to it. And we were talking right before you came on the show. Lysistrata, is it?
Yeah, so
Lysistrata, for those who may not be familiar, and I'm kind of making this up, but I do believe this is what it's about. It's about around the Peloponnesian War period, where all the warriors were constantly warring all around the world, similar to what's going on, maybe currently, maybe in the country that you live, maybe not. Could go check if you're listening in this country.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. But in the meantime, it is a great and a funny and also pretty straightforward kind of theater in which the women stop mating with their husbands
yes.
until they come home, and it ends up stopping the war.
Right.
So, yeah.
How's that for a fantasy?
That's a, you know, and I'm friends with lots of folks who are veterans, and mm-hmm. Some who are, you know, active duty, others who are, you know, members of Veterans for Peace, others yeah. who are just mm-hmm. showing up in veterans associations. There seems to be an undercurrent now of what I understand is people are kind of enough of this warring. Okay. You
yeah.
know, our family has been part mm-hmm. of this,
sure.
you know, type of, what do you want to call it? Type of cannon fodder
mm-hmm.
for
sure.
for generations yeah. and generations.
Yeah.
And Lysistrata.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been used as a kind of rallying cry for peace in the contemporary era.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be.
So a while ago, maybe a couple decades ago, there was a worldwide initiative called the Lysistrata Project, which sought to use this play as a way to kind of draw awareness to the need for peace in many different locations.
Yeah. We have about 30 seconds. It's
yeah.
so great talking about all this, but I did make a promise to Annie and Arlo Guthrie that I was
yeah.
going to play their song
Let's
in just
them.
Enough time. And thanks again.
Thanks, Leslie.
Again, if people yeah. want to reach out and find out more.
Yeah, they can find my name on the Williams College website in the theater department.
Amy
Holtzapfel.
Holtzapfel.
Yeah. I'm the chair, so just look for the chair of theater at Williams.
And
you'll find
perfect,
me.
And perfect. And you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See? Abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.